Welcome everybody to the Dreams Don't Have Deadlines podcast, where a dream is what you make it, but you'll never make it
without a dream.
That's right. I got my man Marwan with me.
What up?
We got the Dream Warriors in the house. Dwayne, how you doing, sir? You got Dream Warrior out today.
We have the most enthusiastic team on the planet.
The man who forgets to charge the cameras and leaves them rolling, man. That's not your camera? Gio, how you doing, man? You doing better than Dwayne?
Yes, sir.
Yo, we got Jelly 2 Fly in the house. Big up yourself.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying? And we are a movement and motivation over here. We are the pinnacle of perseverance. And how do we do that? How do we do that, Marwan?
Dreams don't have deadlines, baby.
That's right. We don't stop.
We keep pursuing them until we get them.
We want to make your dreams a reality, and that's why we're here. And how do we do that? We talk to like-minded individuals, people who've been through the mud, the dirt, the grime, and they still have a story to tell because they persevered. And we want to learn some of them jewels. So if you want to learn some jewels, this is the right place to be. And we have a very special guest in the house today. She's really dope. First of all, her music is amazing.
Fantastic.
If you're not following her on wherever you listen to music, do yourself a favor. Go on to Hailey Smalls. Just type that in on Apple, Spotify, whatever, YouTube. Check out all her videos and thank me later. I can't say enough about her, man, and just her sound. She's doing R&B the right way. You know what I'm saying? Anytime you want to get in the mood to just do your thing and a little bit of classic R&B vibe with a brand new twist, Hailey Smalls is the person for you. So everybody, make some noise for Hailey Smalls. Woo! In the building.
Hey, hey, hey.
That was a very nice intro. Thank you.
You deserve every single syllable in that intro, man, because honestly, like... I'm a fan first, you know, and I tell you this all the time. Your shit is dope. Cure 3 is on fire. Shout out to Mega Man. Hey. Did you produce all of those, Joyce?
No, me. Yeah, Wanda did one, and I did the rest.
Wow.
Nice.
Fire.
Yes.
Fire. Fire, man. Like,
Thank you so much.
Wow. You know, so how you doing?
I'm good. Can't complain. You know, just chilling, working.
Working hard?
Mm-hmm.
You're so low-key. You're just like... People don't know how fire, like, look at her. She's just humble and chilling and, like, looking at her nails, making sure everything blasts. But you're a beast. You're a beast, yo. Like, own it.
Yes, I appreciate you. I appreciate you.
No, you're really dope. You're really dope. First hard-hitting question. We're going to get real serious right now. Mm-hmm. I need to know this. What's your relationship with Notorious B.I.G.?
I'm a fan. I don't know.
You guys aren't related?
No.
Biggie Smalls, Hailey Smalls, nothing?
No?
Okay,
no,
just
no,
making
no.
sure.
No.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Second question. Why did you use your real name? Is Hailey Smalls your real name?
My real name is Hailey Small.
Small, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. People kept saying Smalls, so honestly, I just gave them what they want.
Right. Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
How long you been doing this thing for?
A long time. Mm-hmm. I started music really young, so I think I started getting in the studio and writing when I was like 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the whole history. Like, let's talk, you know, let's go all the way back. What hospital were you burning?
Oh my God. Well, no.
I'm just kidding, but like, let me know the story. Yeah, start from the top.
So I guess my parents said I was singing since I was like out the womb. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really have like a moment where I was like, I think I'm gonna do music. It was just kind of like, it was just it since the beginning. And so I kind of just...
You grew up in a musical household?
Yeah, sort like, my parents didn't do music, but they were music lovers. So my mom was like always playing music. And for whatever reason, I was just drawn to it since the beginning. So I was just, you know, it was just my thing. Like the same way people play with kids play with toys, that was really just like my thing to do.
Yeah. I know for me, I grew up in a musical household. My dad wasn't a musician, but he was like the local DJ for their friends. Like he had the biggest record collection. Mm-hmm. And you know, every Sunday it was the smell of ackee and saltfish, fried dumpling, plantain, and Dennis Brown. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what I grew up to, or some soul music, right. or some really good jazz. So right. like that was infectious, and you know, some of my best memories of just chilling out with him, mm-hmm. going through music and looking at like vinyl, you know, and looking right. at the covers and just picturing yeah. whatever was going on while mm-hmm. the music was playing.
That's fire.
Was that similar to how?
It was similar. Like my mother is like one of those people that she's just like always playing music constantly, constantly, right. constantly. You go to her house, music's playing on her phone.
Of
you
course,
know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it was just like that. So like a lot of my musical taste came from her musical taste when I was a kid.
And what were those tastes?
That was like she was playing like she would play like Toni Braxton, mm-hmm. Janet Jackson, mm-hmm. Michael, Blackstreet. Mm-hmm. You know, like a lot of R&B. She's like a big R&B lover. So sure. that's really where like I think my R&B influence came from. And then, they just like, I guess they figured out that I could sing or I had a talent in music. And so then like my dad went straight dadager mode and was like trying to secure every opportunity he could for me. So then, I just ended up like networking with producers and stuff like that and just getting in studios and writing, recording from like a very young age. And then, you know, one thing leads to the next.
So wait, you were just... like school, music, that was it?
That was it, yeah. I was going to school. I would like sing at the assemblies in elementary school and stuff like that. I was like singing the national anthem. Then my parents somehow got me to sing for a Blue Jays game when it was called the Sky Dome
right.
there. And then,
that must have been dope.
Yeah, it was cool. I was like, I think I was 9 or 10. So that was like, you know, it was a big deal.
Wow.
30,000 people.
Wow.
It was a big deal for me at the time.
All right.
Not shook?
Yeah.
Just flexing.
I think I was like nervous going into it, but then like 30,000 people doesn't feel like people, you know what I mean? It just feels like a blur. So,
yeah,
so it was cool.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, one thing leads to another. You network, you learn, you work with people.
Yeah.
I got in bad music contracts, got out of bad music contracts.
Yep. I don't think you can't truly be an artist unless you've had at least 3 bad deals.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if things ain't going wrong,
yes.
like if you're smooth sailing, you're not a true artist yet, yo.
Yeah, man.
And
it's
just how the game goes. Like, you have to toughen up your skin at some point because you're going to need that energy to kind of get through and know what you want from what you don't want, I think.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you learn so much from those situations, you know. All the mistakes I made really just helped me to be able to learn from them and then, you know, kind of help other people that I know, like, trying to kind of dodge the things that I had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
What's it like? I find it very interesting that you had so much support from your parents, and that's not always the case for everybody, right?
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about the support system and the importance of that.
Yeah, that was, you know, like a super blessing because, like you said, a lot of people don't have that. My parents were super supportive, like so supportive to the point where my dad was like, one day he was just like, you know what, we're going to buy you your own recording studio and put it in the basement. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So like he spent like 10 grand,
put
the little music equipment down there when I was like 17. And then that's when I learned to record myself. And that was like the best skill that I ever learned, you know. And something that I always like try to impress upon other artists getting into the game is to like, you know, it doesn't mean you have to record yourself every time, but just to have that skill to be able to be self-sufficient so you don't have to depend on going to a record, you know, going to a recording studio, have to depend on mixers, on engineers, you know what I mean? And even just to be able to understand the process, you know, to understand like about reverb and about EQ, like this shit is going on your music, on your voice. So you should understand it, you know, so you can get it to sound the way you want it to sound.
100%. So, like I remember the... there's a great Nipsey quote about him being in the studio and the lessons he learned by recording himself.
Right.
So whenever he went to a studio and the engineer was doing something and he would tell him to do it and the engineer would kind of argue with him, he would be like, okay, well then get up from the chair because I can do it myself.
Like,
you know what I'm saying? And to have that power, it gives you a different energy as an artist. So I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
Do you engineer all of your music?
I do, yes.
You do?
I record all my stuff. I mix my stuff too. With Megan helps me as well. We both collab on the mixes and stuff like that because he's a great mixer. I've been mixing my stuff for years as well too. So, but I like being able to have a hand in everything I do. Like not by any means, I'm not like a control freak. Like, I like to collaborate with people.
You. I don't believe you at all.
I'm not. Stop lying. I swear to God, I like to collaborate with people. It's just, it's really just many experiences with people where it's like, you know, like when you're coming up, people don't prioritize your stuff the way you prioritize your stuff.
Yeah,
you know what
of course.
I mean? Like,
for sure.
If you're Beyonce, everybody's gonna prioritize your shit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're coming up, it's like, you know, you have a select few people who are like really down for the cause. But other than that, you know, it's really just you. Like, nobody's gonna treat your shit the way that you're gonna treat your
100%.
Shit. And so that's why I've really like tried to learn many different skills. And I, like I said, it's not so that I can do all of it, because trust me, I really don't want to do all of it. I don't, but I want to be able to at least understand and collaborate and, you know, be able to do the things that I need to do. If I need to, you know, if I need to do something quick, then I can do it. I don't have to wait a week to get
it done.
It shows in your music. I mean, we were just talking about it before you came here on how clean your sound is and how crisp the sound is
so
from
good.
Your music. So, right. You know, did that take a while for you to get into that rhythm?
Haley's music is like wearing a duvet on the street, bro. It's just warm. You know what I'm saying?
What kind of duvet?
Your metaphors?
They're ridiculous.
Yeah, allow me. It's the 1800 tequila. Thank you.
ATM.
Made the right way without compromise.
Wow. All
right. Continue,
That's
sir.
That's funny.
What were we talking about? Yeah, your crisp duvet sound.
Right.
It's fantastic. No, did it take you a while to find a rhythm and how you're exporting your music now? And or did it, was it like, you know, were you satisfied in how it sounded from the jump?
No. I definitely was not satisfied the way it was sounding. It definitely took a while, like, in terms of, like, just a lot of trial and error. And I feel like, before I met Megman in 2014, I was kind of just like shooting in the dark. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was just trying a whole bunch of different stuff. And it was really just a lot of like pleasing other people, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of people in my, you know, on my team at the time that, you know, had the mentality of kind of just like fast food music. Like, hey, let's just try to do, you know, try to record 6 songs with this big producer and then go get that deal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. These deals are shit deals anyways. So thankful that I dodged all of that shit. But when I met Mega, he was like really impressing upon me that, you know, you need to find your sound. You need to develop your sound.
Yeah.
And that's like a, you know, like a old school thing, because like nobody wants to really spend time developing anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody just wants to be out, like be on TikTok, be on the blogs, like, you know what I mean? Not spend time actually like, okay, wait, let's actually get you polished. So you're not like growing and going through that weird, awkward phase in the public, you know what I mean? And then everybody's saying like, oh, she's only gonna last for this long or whatever, whatever. And the reason why they're saying that is because they can hear that the person's not polished, they're not developed. So it's like, okay, you might sound good on one song, but then you're gonna put 5 more out. It's not gonna sound consistent. It's not gonna, you know, there's no real actual sound. You're just trying to recreate the one viral song over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. People already heard it. So there was definitely like years that were, you know, that I was really just trying to like polish, develop, figure out exactly how I wanted to sound. I'm still doing that. I feel like you should always do that. You know what I mean? Because you never want to stop growing.
How did you guys meet? You know, for our viewers, Mega Man, I mean, we know his reputation.
Cool,
one of the best producers coming out of Toronto, Canada, period.
He's so mad right now.
How did you guys meet? You know, how did
you
this
thought you
really
gonna stay
start?
Away behind the camera and know we gonna mention you in the building? Come on, son.
I'm not the real
Mega Man. Hey, okay. Brought to you by Capcom, but go ahead. So how'd you guys meet?
I was living in Brooklyn at the time.
Oh, okay.
So, my management at the time wanted me to live there and just like soak up the vibes. So I was there for a bit, and then a mutual person that we both knew that we were both kind of, like, I wasn't really working with, but I knew through somebody that I was working with, Mega was also working with. And so he played me a bunch of beats, not just from Mega, just like a bunch of beats from different producers. And I ended up only picking 2, and both of them were Megas, but I didn't know him. You know what I mean? I knew of him, but I didn't even know they were his beats, and I didn't know him.
Right.
So I ended up writing a song to one of them, send it to the guy. The guy sent it to Mega, and Mega was like, can you set up a session with her? You know, so that's when we met up, 2014. We started working together, and it was like a kind of like a writing group at the time. There was like a bunch of people that Mega put together, like writers, key players, and stuff like that. So we were literally just in the studio like 7 days a week, doing like 2-3 songs a night.
Oh wow.
Yeah. It was like
right off the hop, eh?
Yeah, it was like writer's boot camp. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah. Mega's like, fucking serious. Like,
he's rubbing hands like Birdman right now. Like, you know the deal. Get to work, anime. No, I'm just kidding. That's dope. Yeah. That's dope. And I think that's what it takes, right?
Yeah.
To, you know, really, like you said, develop that sound.
Yeah. It really helped me, like, writing-wise, because I was really shy when it came to writing with people, and that, like, just knocked that shit out of me.
It's hard finding good people.
It is, yeah. And, like, when you're also writing with other, like, really dope writers, because they were, like, and everybody had their own writing style, so it's kind of like you're rubbing shoulders, and you're getting that, like, friendly competition thing where you're, like, learning off of them, they're learning off you, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? You're starting to, like, absorb different skills. So that was, like, a really productive time for me, and just like my growth with writing.
And it just blossomed from there, and like every time you're working on a project, it's yo, Mega was good, I need a pack.
Yeah, like from there, like that was like, you know, that was a phase. The team, you know, kind of disintegrated after a certain amount of time, and then Mega and I continued to work, and you know, it's hard to find people that you have good personal chemistry with and musical chemistry with, right?
That is true.
I have definitely like worked with other producers of like, you know, high credibility and caliber that it was not the case.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Just because somebody
the chemistry is not there.
The chemistry is not there, or the intention is just not right.
True.
Like, you know what
have
I mean?
Have you come across that a lot?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think every female artist has, you know, that's just how it goes. Like, you know, you have to dodge a lot of bullets, especially when you're coming up, especially when you're young, like when you're in the industry young, like they be trying to groom you. They be trying to like really just tell you like, you know, this is what you got to do if you want to make it. Mm-hmm. And it can be like, it can really be a mind fuck, you know, especially when you're young and you just don't understand certain things, you know, and you have these goals that you're trying to accomplish, and then there's pressure because there's all these people that are like investing their time and their money in you, and you know what I mean? So it can really just, you know, I see why so many female artists end up getting, you know, going off that path that they intended, and then they become very
it could
unhappy.
Be discouraging.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask, like, how does the mental health aspect kick into it from those challenges coming up as a female artist and meeting people that might have ill intentions? Did you find that it was hard to battle, like, keep your head straight and be positive?
Yeah, I did at times for sure. Like I said, especially when I was working with, you know, different people, I just felt like, you know, there was, like I said, a lot of ill intentions, a lot of, you know, just, oh, you know, like I said, just the fast food thing, like put her in the studio with these people, just cut a check. You know what I mean? That's really like the mentality, cut a check. And then you also have like a lot of these producers and writers that are like, they're not even going to work with you or even give you their best work if they're not sleeping with you. And they'll tell you straight up.
Really, yeah?
They'll literally tell you straight up. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so it's like a lot of women are faced with that, and some of them go that route and some of them don't. And I just remember just finding myself at one point thinking, like, is this even what I really, like, wanted to do? Like, you know what I mean? Because it's like, I think Lauryn Hill said it. She said, like, how could the thing that I love so much become something I hate?
So true.
Right? And, like, I think when I heard her say that, that was, like, back in probably, like, 2013. It resonated because I was like, that's how I feel. Like, I feel like when I'm in these zones, when I'm in these, like, circles, I don't feel like I love this. You know what I mean? Because all of these people just have weird intentions, weird vibes, like, you're not even doing it for yourself anymore, you know? And it can take a toll on you mentally, you know? But
did you ever believe them?
Well, in terms of what?
In terms of like, this is what you need to do to make it. You can't make it
without
this.
I did. Yeah, I did. Like, and that's, I think that's when I really started questioning whether I even wanted to do it anymore. Right. And it was heartbreaking because music is something I love, you know? So it's not something that I ever, ever considered quitting. But I literally started to wonder if the industry was for me. Like, I was like, maybe I'm just not meant to be in this industry, you know? Because I didn't feel like it. Like, there's, I guess for some people, it's just easy for them to just, you know, like, okay, well, if I got to do this, I got to do that. But I felt like it was breaking my soul. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, so yeah. I just got to a point where I was like, I don't know. And then I literally met Mega the following year and he was like, you don't got to do any of that shit.
Hey, right on know? Time. Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, you don't got to do any of that shit. Like, you don't got to look like that. You don't got to sound like that. You don't got to do any of that shit. Like, what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. You know? And so that was the first time I was like, okay, maybe I can do it the way I want to do it. And everything changed after that, you know. Now I just do shit the way I want to. Shout out to Mega
Man, you know. Shout out to if you ever need new roster members, I need a manager, a coach, a life coach, anything like that, dog. You know what I'm saying?
He's quitting. That's it.
That's amazing, though. Yeah. That's great to hear.
Yeah.
What's the, what would you say the theme of your music is?
Theme, like concept-wise?
Yeah. Overall, all-encompassing. What do you... When somebody like wants to listen to Haley Smalls, like, what do you feel like they're gonna get?
I feel like they're gonna get like nostalgic vibes, you know, because the one thing that I really strive to put in my music is like feel, you know, because I feel like if I don't feel music, it doesn't do anything for me. Like, I need to feel something when I hear something, when I hear music, and so that's what I really try to put into my music. There's a lot of themes of love, mm-hmm. obviously. It's very, you know, the basis of it is R&B, but I don't like to really box myself. So you'll obviously hear like, you know, you'll hear hip hop vibes. You'll hear like a little bit of country vibes here and there. You'll hear a little rock vibes here and there. But yeah, like I just kind of try to first and foremost do what I love, but mm-hmm. then also try to make things very relatable. You know, I say this a lot, but I just feel like music is healing. And so, like, vibrationally, and that's why I feel like you have to hear something, you have to feel something mm-hmm. when you hear music. Because I feel like vibrationally, when you feel it, it's doing something to you mm-hmm. vibrationally, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why people will say things like, oh my gosh, this album saved my life, or, you know, about their favorite artist and stuff like that. It's like, people will think, well, okay, well, how did it save your life? Well, it's because it's lifting you vibrationally. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And people need that. Like, so many things are draining people on a daily basis, their job, their relationships, their families, like so many things, right? So it's like, sometimes it's like literally just listening to music is what lifts you enough to save you and keep you going. Mm-hmm. So
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. Are you like, your writing process, where does that stem from? Do you hear the beat, you go in, is everything that you said it actually happened? Are you like, what's the process like for you?
Yeah, like lyrically, not everything I've said has happened verbatim, but you know, I pull from my emotions, my feelings, sometimes other people's emotions. Like I always say, like, people, I'll write songs about people and they wouldn't even know it, like right. about their experiences, like if you tell me shit you're going through, I'll probably end up writing a song about it.
Watch out what you tell Haley then.
I'm not gonna air you out or anything, yeah, yeah, but yeah. you know, it's probably gonna be a little bit of, you know, something in there.
I ask because, like, when listening to your music, it all feels very personal, you know what I'm saying? It feels like the emotions that you've actually gone through or, you know, projecting, it doesn't feel like some kind of magical made up story, like that story, you know, like so I'm getting, like, I don't know, like, you know, people say be careful if you date Taylor Swift because, you know, you're gonna get a song out of that, or, you know. So I was just wondering if it's that, or if it kind of maybe like Nas staring at the project window and just, you know, looking at his surroundings and drawing from that, because
it's all personal. Like, it's definitely is personal. If I don't feel it, then I'm not gonna write it, you know what I mean? But it's not like I'm not one of those artists that has to be going through something to write something.
Right.
I can pull from dreams, I can pull from, you know, things that I felt in the past.
Right.
So I'm always pulling from somewhere inside of myself or inside of my space.
Right.
Mm. But yeah.
Being that R&B sound, I wanted to ask, like, when primarily you listen to R&B, you're relating to love, right?
So, right.
You know, how does relationships get into the mix of Haley Small's life? You know, is it complicated to have a relationship
in your
musical career? You know, and do you draw from that? Is it like conflicting? How does that mix into your life?
I stay away from relationships entirely.
All right. Have you learned because they don't mix. They don't mix
with music. Like, honestly, they just don't. I've tried it. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And the reason is just because people just don't understand what goes into this. You know what I mean? When you love something and you're trying to do something at a high caliber, like a career job, it's not a 9-to-5. No disrespect to a 9-to-5, but you can clock out, you know what I mean? Yeah. When you're doing a 9-to-5, like, it's 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. Music is 24/7. Yeah. You know what I mean? For me, it's 24/7, right? And a lot of people don't understand that, you know? So
it doesn't work because... It doesn't work, period, or because you haven't met the right person that understands?
I personally haven't. I don't think I've even put myself I haven't even put myself in that space to look for it because I've just been so focused on what I'm doing. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say that it's impossible, literally impossible. People, I'm sure, you know, people are doing it, but it's just
you're goal oriented, it seems like.
Yeah,
you need to achieve them.
Yeah, I for me it's like, even on the personal side, like, I'm very focused on bettering myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when you have a relationship with somebody, if they're not helping you move on the path that you're trying to go down, then they're taking you off of it.
100%. I think that's in basis for all of life, I think.
Right, like, exactly.
If that person's not going to elevate you and support you to achieve your goals, then you got to put them on the side.
Yeah. Right, because they're going to, maybe not even intentionally, but they're going to pull you away from it. You know what I mean? Because you're investing something into somebody when you're merging your life with somebody. You know what I mean? What?
That's Rochester's life right there. He basically told him his life.
This is your life?
Here's the thing, right?
Okay, Dr. Phil. No.
I hate the fact that you're right.
No.
You're right, because every relationship, you know, that I've experienced always felt like that. No matter how good of the intention the person was.
Yes.
You know, I've dated people in the industry, outside of the industry, wondering which one would kind of fit better.
Right.
And at the end of the day, if you're in this business, like you said, you can't clock in and clock out, right?
Exactly.
Like, this is a 24/365 thing. Mm-hmm. And not everybody's going to understand that. Not everybody's going to be cool with playing second fiddle to your dream, you know?
Right.
And they will be. It's just it's just what it is, right? So it takes a special somebody. With that being said, I am of the belief that it is possible. You know what I'm saying? I have faith that there should be somebody out there who can do it, because I mean,
it has to be possible.
It's not impossible. I mean, nothing is impossible.
It's just no way. What are you talking about, Jelly?
It's like, it's impossible.
What are you talking about? It's impossible.
No one's ever going to love what you love more than what you love.
No, that's for sure. But finding someone by your side to support you, that's definitely possible. What are you saying? We're going to be single for the rest of our lives?
Here's the thing. Like, you know, that. Jelly's like, no. Why you say that?
That's facts.
That's true.
We absolutely don't.
That's true.
We don't.
I feel like we need the Mega Man jump.
That's facts. And I'm not even saying that on some feminist shit. That's not even what I'm trying to say. Mm. But it's true. Like, I think right now, especially, I'm sorry to you guys, but.
Wow.
Y'all need to catch up. Like, really and truly.
Way? In what way?
Like, and this is not a personal attack.
No. I'm intrigued here.
Yeah, but like, generally speaking, I just feel like women are really starting to learn to be self-sufficient. It's not showing on the surface right now, but it's happening.
It's bubbling. It's bubbling inside.
Look on the surface, you ain't gonna see it.
Yeah.
But
the volcano's alive. It's about to erupt, basically.
And I just think that, like,
no?
Go ahead.
I thought it was a great analogy.
It's great. You're up.
But you were saying, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, the times of settling are just coming to an end. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm.
So there's just going to be a different standard.
A different standard in meeting the requirements of, like...
Yeah, and I'm not talking about material standard, because material standard is so much easier to meet, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like personal, spiritual standard.
Emotional.
You know, emotional standard. Like, it's just a... It's a different standard, and I just don't... I don't see as many men realizing this right now. I see a lot of women realizing it, but I don't see as many men realizing it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I keep hearing a lot of women say that, yo, honestly, like, I would rather stay single for the rest of my life than be with somebody who's not going to meet those standards.
Yeah, I mean, I think you shouldn't settle unless it's someone that's going to be exactly what you want, you know, not what you want them to be, but helping you in your life path and your career path to achieve all the dreams that you want. Because it's hard for me to think, listen, but if what you're saying is true and the rest of us stay single, well, the human population is going to be extinct very, very soon, and
it's
we ain't got
no life. True.
No life to go for.
We don't
for.
Have to have relationships to procreate.
That's true.
It's not snapping over there. Can you stop, please? This is not a jazz court.
This is true.
Lounge.
You're right. Yes, we can definitely procreate without relationships, but I find it very hard to believe.
All right. You know what? Somebody's gonna have to rep for us. All right. Listen.
I want y'all to catch up. I really do. I want to see a world where men and women, women and women. Men and men, mm-hmm. whatever it is, right. are just living in harmony. But I just feel like right now it's a little bit of an off-balance.
I think it's a different perspective when we're living in a Western world. I think the fact in the cities that we live in and the privileges that we have, the luxuries that we have living in the developed countries, we have so much more opportunity to chase our dreams and go for our goals.
Right.
And so there needs to be a little catch up on both sides.
Right.
Yeah, you fill that up, baby. You fill it up. Real good.
Listen, man.
But I do believe that what you're saying is gonna happen, because the reality is men and women... Like, you got to think about it. 100 years ago, women couldn't even vote.
Jelly.
Right.
Right?
Right.
100 years, a lot has changed.
Yes.
And some of us have championed that and thought it was amazing.
Right.
And some of us are a little behind.
Resistant
they want a traditional
it.
Woman and X, Y, and Z. And some of them are not looking at it as a great opportunity for women to advance and better the world. So there is going to be a little catch up, because there's a lot more freedoms here. You know, before... 30 years ago, you couldn't get a divorce because you didn't want to know what that neighbor thought or this person thought or whatever the case may be. Now you can have a divorce within 6 months, no problem.
That's what I was going to say, because we also live in this brand new world now where the grass is always going to be greener, right? Mm. Where we have the option to just, if something gets too tough, we could just jump ship and find something else. There's going to be something else out there, you know? And I think... the reason why relationships aren't working is because people aren't willing to fight enough to make it work.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? When things get a little tough, they're like, this ain't the one for me. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I got to dip. So I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but there also has to be kind of like a balance where people need to understand the perfect person is not
perfect.
There, yeah, they're not gonna
be. The perfect person is not perfect.
They're not, and it takes time.
Like, and they're not right now. It develops
when you think about marriages, which is a whole other thing. Like, I don't even know about marriages anymore in 2023. But the people who are still married, right, for 40 years plus, right, like you hear about how many times like they've had to work through, and it hasn't always been rosy. I've heard about marriages where, you know, the spouses tried to. Attempted murder on the person, you know what I'm saying? And you end up working through that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and there's no, and I always say too that like, you can't judge anybody's relationship, you know what I mean? You can't even say like, oh, well, she should have left him because he did this or vice versa. Because I think that at the end of the day, like two people need to decide whether they want to, like we're adults, like you gotta decide whether it's worth it for you to work something out with somebody. Like you said, the perfect person is not perfect. And I think like when I'm talking about standards, I don't mean, because it's easy to think of it as like, well, you know, people have these checklists of like, well, they gotta be this and they gotta be this. And it's like, that's not it. It's more so just like, a person needs to be on a certain level, mm-hmm. emotionally, vibrationally, mm-hmm. that matches with you, so that you can grow together. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, one person is going to be bringing the other person down. Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, it's all about growth.
I have hope for you, Haley Smalls.
Thank you.
You will find that person. And when you do, you holler at us and be like, DDHD, dreams don't have deadlines. You know?
So if you want to
holler at Haley Smalls, if you feel like you got that vibration and
absolutely
energy.
Absolutely not.
Slide up in them DMs,
not
bro.
Looking.
The frequency is 98.7 hertz. But no, that's, I know we went into this rabbit hole of relationship talk.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask, you know, if you're not romantically engaged as an R&B singer and it's been a while for you to have a relationship, do you tap out of material? You know,
No. You know, like, I think that the misconception as a writer is that you have to be going through stuff in order to write. But for me, at least, it's not that way.
Okay.
Like, I can pull from so many things, you know what I mean? I can pull from, like I said, I can pull from past, I can pull from TV shows, I can pull from other people, you know? I still love, you know what I mean? Just because I'm not in a relationship, I still love. Mm-hmm. So I can still write about love, you know what I mean?
I'm sorry?
I always say the world's a playground.
That's true.
Right, exactly.
The world is a playground.
Exactly. Like, I still experience sadness, heartbreak, like all kinds of things, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? I think when people think of love, they think of like a specific kind of relationship, but that doesn't mean that you still don't experience those things even if you're not in a relationship, right? Mm. So there's still so many outlets for me to write about.
That's
dope.
Nice.
Yeah. That's dope. Yo, your YouTube game is
strong.
Yo.
Strong.
Yo, like, you constantly putting out material and, mm-hmm. and you're dropping new music all the time. Your YouTube page is phenomenal. What is your marketing strategy, your artistic strategy in terms of your goals in YouTube?
I think it's really just been, like, consistency, to be honest with you. You know, there was, obviously, algorithms are always changing. That changes a lot. But just through the years, I've just been really focusing on being consistent, right? It's the perk of not being signed is that you can, and being independent is that you can release music whenever you want, right? And so, like, I've really tried to kind of, going back to what we were talking before, but I've situated myself where I can do what I want. Like, I can shoot a music video easily. You know what I mean? It doesn't even have to be like a super, you know, intricate music video. Just visuals, put them out on YouTube. You know what I mean? I have vaults of music that I can release anytime. So it's really just like consistency and just understanding the business. I think that's just really been my strategy, is just understanding the business. Like, yeah. I always say, again, with, like, you know, understanding your music, you also have to understand the business aspect of it, because it is a business at the end of the day, unless you're doing it as a hobby, right? Mm. So I've just been big on understanding, you know, the business in terms of marketing and strategizing and stuff like that.
It looks great.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really, really dope. Yeah. Your visuals, and I wouldn't even downplay, like, yeah, like, your videos are, they really tell the message of your music, and fine, they don't have to be shot by, you know, Hype Williams or whatever,
right.
But like, you put people in the zone that you want them to be in,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
I think people might talk themselves out of stuff when they're shooting videos, because they're like, oh man, it's got to be this and it's got to be that, and I don't think I can get a Bugatti, so I'm not going to shoot the video, you know?
Right.
But I think when people are fans of your stuff, they just kind of want to see you in your element and whatever
right.
that is, and
that's
I think
true.
You can capture that very well.
Thank you. Yeah, that's very true, and I think that's something that you're 100% right about. A lot of people get very caught up on the details of not having the budget to do this or that.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that, but I think, you know, this is why you got to kind of sometimes get creative with things.
Yeah.
There are, like, you know, songs that I've released that I've wanted to do videos for, but I just know what kind of budget that video needs for. And sometimes that's just not, you know, that's just not in the realm or in the scope of things.
Right.
So, you know, like, if it needs to be a Hype Williams video and that's just not really a thing at the moment, then that's cool. It can just be a single. And then there's other, you know, there's other songs that you can do where, you know, you can, you know, you could still do something. You still have a nice little budget for it, but, you know, it works with the song, with the concept. You could still really, you know, draw some nice visuals.
And you said it's consistent, right? Like, I think consistency is like one of the strongest words. And I've been preaching that from the beginning. I knew that if you can stay consistent and constantly give your fans or whoever follows you more material, you know, like obviously it has to be quality, but you know, you're seasoned, so like, you know, it feels like everything you do is just a smash, you know.
Thank you.
But you're also able to be consistent, and when you do that, your fan base will grow, you know. It's what's the point of having $100,000 video if you're only dropping one a year, when you can shoot some for 5 to 10, and then you can have, you can drop something every month, you know?
Yeah, and also, like, you know, I've seen people, like, spend a big bag on a music video and then put no money into, like, marketing and making people be able to see it. So it's like, now you have, like, you know, you have, like, a $75,000 video or $50,000 video on YouTube, and it has, like, 500 views, you know what I mean?
Market
it's like,
because
the way these algorithms work nowadays, you know, is so different, like, there was a time where however many followers you had is how many, however many people would see your shit.
Right,
and that's just not the world we live in anymore, you know? So you really have to, like, find ways to make sure that people see your stuff. Because I have, you know, I have fans that will constantly be telling me, like, yo, I missed this. And I have the bell notification on. I have the, like, notify, you know? They do all of that, but they still don't get it, you know what I mean? So so you really have to push your music out there and understand, like, where to spend, you know.
Any tips for any up-and-coming artists that, you know, putting their stuff out on YouTube?
Yeah, I would just say, like I said, like, just understand that, like, you know, obviously you want your stuff to be of quality. I always want my, you know, my visuals, my music to be of quality. And that's, like, a huge thing for me. But at the same time, like, you also have to make sure that you can get people to see it. So, you know, whatever it is, whatever your budget is, whether you're an independent artist and you're just grinding and trying to put your paycheck into your music, or, you know, if you have help, it's just really about understanding, like, you know, how to place your resources, you know, properly. I mean, that's a whole thing, so I don't think I could summarize it. But
just, you know, trying to give the people what they want, you know.
how do you stay so consistent over the years? Do you have, like, a goal board, a vision board? Are you, like, very goal oriented on a yearly, monthly basis, or is it just, you know, what you feel, what you go for, like, how does
I would I would probably classify it as intuitive strategizing.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I don't believe
that
in
again?
Intuitive strategizing.
That sounds fancy.
Hashtag.
And the reason why I say that is because I'm just very against rigid strategizing.
Okay.
So, you know, like, I've seen people do this where they'll be like, okay, I'm going to spend the next month, I'm going to shoot 5 different music videos, I'm going to shoot, you know, this many content, we're going to release the first video on this date, the second video on this date, third video on this date, you know what I mean? And so they have, like, a 6-month to a year plan already. Hmm. And I personally think that that's a very hard way to plan and strategize. And it's because things change, you know what I mean? Like, today is not tomorrow. 6 months from now is not today. Right. And so many things change in the world. Things are going to change in your space. Opportunities are going to come up. You may not be in the space that you're in now, 6 months from now, you might be thinking completely differently. You know what I mean? It doesn't really give you space to grow. And so that's why I say, like, intuitive strategizing is really just, you know, like, being intuitive about it. It doesn't mean that you can't, you know, you can't plan, but you have to be able to be flexible about planning. And so that's really how I do things, is, like, I might have some sort of idea of what I want to do, but I'm totally open to it changing, and it does not freak me out. It does not make me go into panic mode if something completely changes, like, completely. I could have a whole album planned to release, and if it doesn't make sense for that to come out, then it's not going to come out. That's just what it is. And that doesn't break my heart. You know what I mean? I just understand that that's just how it goes sometimes, you know?
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I hate holding on to music. Yeah, I just want to get, I know. Jelly snapping. She's right. I just want to put everything out though, like, you know. Holding on to music for me is like,
No, it's hard though. I will agree with that, that honestly, when I hold on to music for too long, it never comes out.
Right.
That's just what happens. Like, I have vaults of music that I don't think will ever come out. People will never hear it. You know what I mean? Because once you hold on to it for too long, you're not in the same space anymore. You're growing. You know what I mean? So it's like, if I've had a record for a year, like, there has been times where a record that's like a year old has come out.
Right.
But it's not often. And usually when a year passes, it's like you look back on those songs. And I know that a lot of people would probably hear them and be like, no, this is fire. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's like, I'm just not in that space anymore. Mm. Like, I'm growing past that. Like, I'm delivering better. I'm doing better harmonies. I'm writing better. You know what I mean? I'm evolving, right? So it's like, and I never want to stop evolving. I don't want to look back at my music 2 years from now and feel like, oh yeah, I could drop this. It's the same as what I'm doing now. You know what I mean? Like, that's a bad sign to me. Yeah, you know?
I feel that.
Yeah. So at what point did you realize that music is it? That's all you want to do?
I don't, like that's what I was saying. I don't think that moment ever happened for me. I think it was just, it was like I was born and it was there.
It happened? Okay.
Yeah, like it was, it's weird. Like I was never like, maybe I'll do this instead or maybe I'll do both. Like music has really just always been it. I think music chose me. I don't think I chose music. That's amazing.
Lucky.
snap. So what's laid out for Haley Smalls in terms of the future? Like what do you envision yourself in, like top 10 Billboard, world tour, all these things? Like, what do you envision for yourself?
I think those things would be nice. I'm not attached to them.
Okay.
Because I'm not attached to anything in terms of like the future. I feel like when you attach yourself to things, number one, they never happen. And number two, again, it's not, things change. Like, you have to be able to evolve and change personally as well. Like, I used to be very set on what I thought my life should be like. Mm. I think that's problematic.
True.
And that's not an attack on anybody who has that mentality. But for me, I feel like it was problematic. I would love to see my music reach the highest level of, you know, possible. Mm-hmm. Because why not, right? But at the same time, like, I'm just extremely big on peace of mind, on being, like, staying true to who I am. Not making sacrifices that compromise any of those things. And sure. I feel like when you start entering those spaces, it's very easy to do that. It's very easy to compromise. It's very easy to start losing your way, you know. And that's because there's a lot of people that become involved. There's a lot of money that becomes involved, right? And it's possible to do it at a high level and still keep your, you know, keep your morals and keep your, you know, keep doing music the way you want to be doing it.
Yeah.
But I think it's just a much narrower path. Mm-hmm. And so that's the path that I'm on.
So you're doing it because you love what you do and this is what you want to do at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what path you lead because you love it.
Right. Yeah. I think that's just really where I'm at. You know, I've had a lot of opportunities presented to me. I could be in much higher places, you know, but I'm just not willing to sacrifice certain things to get there.
Right.
So
we had Infinite on the show, you know, legendary Rexdale, Canadian rapper, and he was talking about decisions that he made when his career was at a certain path, you know, and he chose the choices that he made. Other people might say they were the wrong choices, but he chose, you know, his morals.
Right.
Over becoming, maybe elevating his career, right? And when he looks back on it with hindsight, he's like, I really don't have no regrets. At the time, it's like, oh, you're not too sure.
Right.
But going through it and looking back on it, it's like, how can you live yourself knowing that you had to adjust or throw away your moral code to get to where you are right now? So I think it's important to have that. And what you said about goals is actually really cool because you're leaving it open, right? Because you said once you have a goal or this thing set in mind, if you're not getting that exact thing, then you feel like a failure.
Right, exactly.
But I don't, I think it's important to have a goal, obviously, to go where you want to go. Right. But you also have to leave room for God to do his work, yo. You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
You're not gonna, whatever you think is your plan, you know, it's God's plan. It's not your plan.
Yeah.
So when things aren't going the way that you think, it's not because you're failing. It's because there's a bigger purpose for you. So you have to leave the door open for other things to happen. And a lot of people miss that, you know?
Yeah, it's very true. And I also, building off of what you said, I think that sometimes when you become so fixated on something that you want, you don't realize that there's something bigger coming for you. And then you miss out on that because you're just like, well, this is what I want. It's like, you know, you see this like beautiful house that is a nice big house and you're so fixated on, I want that house.
Right, right.
But what if there's a fucking mansion that's waiting for you and all you could see was that house?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's all you've been fixated and focused on. So it's like, you know, so that's why I say, like, you know, I would love for my music to go to the highest level, but I'm not fixated on anything. I'm just fixated on making sure that I'm making myself happy. I'm, you know, I'm doing things in the way that I feel comfortable, in the way that, you know, I'm growing as a person, I'm growing musically. And I focus more on, like, also the fans, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like people also get really caught up in, like, industry stuff. And I feel like the whole fucking music industry is like, it's dictated at the end of the day, especially as an independent artist, like your fans are what are going to tell you, like, what is, you know, what they like, you know what I mean? So it's like, I'm just putting out music. I'm blessed to have a fan base that, you know, that vibes with my music. And I'm just trying to grow that as much as possible.
I love that, man. Yeah. I love that. Haley for the fans, yo. You know what I'm saying? Get it right.
Yeah.
I love that. I think a lot, that's a jewel right there. People miss that part, you know?
Yeah.
And they're looking at it from an existential point of view where it's like followers and this and that. But like, are you really connecting with the people who actually love your shit? Like who are commenting on your stuff or sharing your music or listening to it or anything like that, you know, actually showing you genuine love.
Right.
And it's more than just those numbers, it's making those connections. So I agree with that. 100%.
I had a question about, like, just in general for artists. I find it's can be a lonely path. Your friends, a group, friend circle can be small, and some people don't understand your lifestyle. We're talking about relationships.
Yeah.
But do you find that it's a lonely road as well? Do you find you have to be mentally strong? Do you have a lot of support around you?
I think you do have to be mentally strong, and I think that it can be lonely if you perceive it that way, for sure. Like, you know, if loneliness means that not having a whole bunch of people around you, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, that. If that's loneliness, then it would be considered loneliness. I don't find it lonely because I would rather have, you know, a small group of people around me that I actually can trust than a whole bunch of people, you know, around me. Like, when I was younger, like, you know, I had a bunch of friends. Did they actually really, like, fuck with me like that?
Yeah.
No, because they would be here if you know what I mean? So it's just like, there's people that, you know, there's people that really understand you, and they understand what you're doing, and they support you. And I'm just, like, honestly blessed to have enough that could fit on one hand. You know what I mean? That's all that you need. You know, and I've been blessed to be around people that are very good-hearted people, and, you know, understand things from a larger perspective. That's really what I look for when it comes to aligning myself with people in music and outside of music, is just people who can see things from a larger perspective. You know.
Dope. You have I heard through the grapevine you have some kind of relationship with Bounty Killer. Is that true?
Yeah, that's the homie.
That's dope, man.
Yeah,
legendary,
yeah,
yo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's going on with that?
Yeah, he's just so humble, man. Yeah. Like, he's super humble. He just, you know, he reached out to me. We just connected on Instagram.
You know?
So he's just fire. He'll just hit me up randomly and just be like, you know, he'll like connect me with like radio stations in Jamaica and stuff like that.
Fire.
And he's like so humble.
The Wah Lord.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he's super cool.
any other industry friends that are cool? Because like we talked about the assholes, you know, about there, but it's good to hear that somebody, there's are people out there who actually just genuinely.
There are. There definitely are. They're hard to find. Trackmasters. Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah, they're super. They're super dope people.
You guys work together?
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. I've worked with them even just on a personal level. They're just really good people. Wow. Honestly, like super humble.
They must have stories for days.
Oh my God, yeah. I can't tell you though. Yeah. Holy shit. Absolutely. Yeah, Polk is like the greatest storyteller too. Oh my God.
Damn.
Yeah, no, that's legendary. No, that's my guy. Like they're just like every once in a while you will come across people who are just so humble and it's like it means so much, especially when they're on that level and they've done what they've done because they don't have to be humble at all. But they're just so humble, just really dope to be around.
And you mentioned it earlier, right? Like just like your relationship with Mega. It's like when you find somebody, and I believe in this 1000%, once you find somebody that you actually connect with, you should hold on to that person because it's like finding a rare jewel. You know, like because in this industry, there's a lot of people on the other side of that.
Yeah.
So if you find good chemistry, good vibrations, good connection with somebody, do your best to hold on to it. If it falls apart, it falls apart, but it shouldn't be from something you did, you know?
Right, I agree. And I told Mega this many times. I'm like, I'm so glad that we met after all the bullshit that I went through because it helped me to really recognize like the kind of person he was because I was just like, okay, wait, this is different.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, I didn't feel like there was any like expectations. I felt like the intentions were pure. I felt like he's like one of the hardest working people I know, you know what I mean? Just not on any bullshit. And it was really easy for me to spot.
You don't have to say that because he's here, right? Because
to be honest with you.
Like, we can get the real thing.
To be honest with you, he would be so much more comfortable if I was like cussing him off right now. The more good things I say, the more he's like, oh my God, let me get out of here.
It's getting hot.
So I'm really actually just torturing him right now. Knowing.
Okay. That's what real friends do. I like that.
But yeah, no, it was, you know, like I said, I was able to recognize it very, very easily. I feel like when you're, and I've seen this before, I feel like when you're fresh in the industry and you meet good people straight off the bat, you can actually end up taking that for granted because you don't even realize the bullshit that's out there. You know what I mean? And then people will mess up that relationship and then work with other people and realize how hard it is to find good people. And then they'll be like, oh, man.
Too late.
Too late.
I've kind of built my whole career off of that, yo. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to say that because I came out, you know, when I was like in my 20s, early 20s. And, the relationships I have now only are still here because I was a good person to those people back then.
Right.
And those people who are interns are now CEOs or they're in positions where they can help me a little bit more, yo, you know? So I didn't do it on purpose. I just wanted to be generally a good person. Right. And when you're in the industry, you see all of the fuckery that happens. And I never wanted to be that guy.
Right.
So I did my best to not. And I'm paying it for it in dividends right now. So anybody out there, like, you know, relationships are going to fall apart. I think that is a part of the business. It does happen. It's not always going to work out. And like I said, you haven't made it until you get fucked over like at least three times. So it's going to happen. But honestly, just try your best to not let it be because of anything that you did. Don't let your ego get in the way of doing something good, of making great music, of creating something special, and making connections with people who you feel deserve it, you know? Keep them close.
Agreed.
That's important. I want to ask a question, and you're not allowed to dodge it, okay? You're not allowed. I need an answer for this one right here. If you weren't doing music, what would you be doing?
I think I already answered that question.
No.
Nothing.
No, I need an answer. I know. You're not running from it.
Would you
be a poet, an author?
I feel like
lawyer.
Maybe.
Lawyer?
I don't know.
I feel like a therapist.
No, I think. Fuck.
Therapist?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I love therapist. I love therapy. Yeah. I don't think I want to listen to people's problems all day. I don't think so.
Your face.
I don't know. Maybe a writer.
Maybe a writer.
Maybe.
A
it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's the closest thing.
I feel like we'll stick to that one for now.
Sure.
What are you reading?
Oh, shit. A lot of stuff.
Yeah. Give us some recommendations. Wait, what kind of books are you reading?
Some deep stuff. I'll be reading like The Law of One.
The Law of One. Never
yeah.
heard of it.
The Dark Knight of the Soul. Nice. I was reading that. What else was I reading?
No, Jelly should be our designated.
keeping it jazzy over here.
Keep a tip jar in front of her too.
Right?
Yeah, she enjoying the 1800s.
You read all these? You know about these books? I haven't heard of none of them.
No, the two she just got, the first one. I didn't hear that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just I really like to read like metaphysical stuff, mm-hmm. Self help, mm-hmm. things on spirituality.
Yeah. Yeah. Seem like you have a good head on your shoulders. Like you seem like you're very awake and like spiritual and very alert and mature for everything that you've gone through. So
that's like the only other thing I do besides music, to be honest. Yeah.
All right. Maybe an author it is then. The other lifestyle.
I like it. Yeah. See, we figured it out.
You want to ask a wrap up question?
Okay. All right. So this is the Dreams Don't Have Deadlines podcast, and we want to thank you for being on here, Haley Smalls. You're incredible. We got a lot of jewels from you today. Mm-hmm. All the dream warriors out there, make sure you follow her. But we want to ask you, there is somebody out there right there who has, they're at that crossroads and mm-hmm. they don't know what to do. Whatever their goal is, they just want to probably give up at this point.
Right.
So what would you tell that person, look in that camera and tell them why dreams don't have deadlines?
I would say that dreams don't have deadlines because if it's your dream and it's something that you love, then instead of being focused on when it's going to happen and how it's going to happen, the best way to get there is to just take things a day at a time and focus on what you're supposed to be focusing on. So if every single day you're doing things to get yourself there, you'll get yourself there a lot faster than if you're so fixated and focused on the future or the perceived deadline, right? I think a lot of people waste a lot of time by focusing on a deadline or an outcome. Like Rochester said, it's not that you can't have a goal, but, you know, be open to other perceived outcomes, you know, because sometimes the way that we think can be smaller than what is actually, you know, meant for us or is coming for us. And I just think that, you know, make sure that what you're doing is what you love. Educate yourself on what you're doing. Make sure that you're involved in what you're doing. Surround yourself with good people. Surround yourself with people that align with you vibrationally. Know who you are, because you're not going to be able to surround yourself with people that, you know, align with you if you don't know who you are. So that's probably the first thing, to be honest. And everything else will be good.
Great advice. Some great advice.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, if you didn't learn something, you weren't paying attention right now. Thank you so much for coming on here and doing this.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, this is really cool. I hope you had a good time, honestly.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, because I want to hear more stuff, maybe play some music after. I don't know if you got to run, but I had a great time.
Yeah, man, it was a wonderful
Dreams
time.
Don't Have Deadlines
learned a lot.
Podcast. Thank you, everybody, because a dream is what you make it, but you never make it.
Without a dream.
Let's go.
Let's get it.
Oh, yes. Shout out Mackenzie Smalls in the building.
Hey.
Check out her music on Spotify, on YouTube.
That's what's up.
Shout out Mackenzie. Shout out Mackenzie.
And look out for Nakima, new artist coming out of Texas.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. My name is Juice.
My name is Marwan Menominee. And we got
Haley Smalls.
Let's get it. That's a wrap.
Work hard and I handle my business. Look up in the sky, whole squad, let's get it. No limit, no.